Welcome to the A1 Show, episode number 28?
Ooh.
27.
I fucking jumped ahead of yourself.
Close enough. 27, 28.
Yeah, it's only Tuesday.
It's Tuesday the 6th of June.
It is.
Feels like life has just stopped since the Nationals, or since the Ross.
You're jumping ahead of yourself again.
It's fucking one way on the Nationals. We loads to get through today, so we won't go start off your usual shit talk. I don't really care how we are.
Nah.
We're going to jump straight in to a bit of A1 news.
Right.
Oh, sure. Many's a piece of A1 news for you today. A1 client Orla Walsh broke her collarbone the weekend.
I heard that, yeah.
Did you hear how she broke it?
Stop pedaling on a track bike. Not great, is it?
Not advisable. 50k an hour, went the freeway.
I didn't know her, like. The news only broke it, and it was too early to start slagging her about being a Fred.
No, it's never too early. speaking of Freds, Ron McLaughlin raced
he's sitting at home waiting on this. He fucking deserves every bit of slagging he gets for this. So everybody knows the Belfast Grand Fondo was on the weekend. See the crowds out?
Yeah, I've seen a picture.
Fucking hell, the tournament was on. Hold on a minute now. If this wasn't your teammate,
no, I'd abuse him.
He fucking deserves the abuse. Yeah. Is it a race?
No.
Like, what's the story with Grand Fondos?
They're just going out for a bit of a ride and a sandwich.
Is it a race, though?
No, it's not a race.
Can you win a Grand Fondo?
No. It's like winning a training ride. He wore a skin suit.
He wore a fucking skin suit. I've seen that.
He threw his hands up. Did you hear the interview after? He said, great field. Just delighted to take the win. You didn't win that. What are you on about? It was lads started in half an hour. You just started earlier. You got up earlier than everyone else.
Yeah, out earlier on the course. Skin suit and a fucking sporty. He said it himself, he messaged me yesterday and he goes, I heard on the grapevine you're going to abuse me at the show. And I said, yeah, you're going to get fucking abused to shit. So I didn't really give him enough slag in there, but if that was me, can you imagine the abuse I'd get?
I thought it was a joke when I seen him throwing his hands up.
I thought it was a joke too.
It
was McKenna that sent me the photo of a screenshot.
I sure went viral on our WhatsApp groups.
Did it?
I was everywhere. I got it off about 6 different people.
Yeah, he dubbed himself King of the Freds. Yeah, Ron McLaughlin, King of the Freds.
Speaking of getting the big wins, I might go for the Wicklow 200 win to weekend.
I told him I'd see him there, challenging him for the King of the Fred type.
Try and mimic. You need to start early now. Romano will be out on the course there at 5:30 in the morning.
I'm going to sit on Ron's way for 6 hours in Wicklow.
You missed the start. Like, the lads will be out very, very early.
6 hours, to be honest.
Couldn't sit on the neutral section of the Ross.
This is it.
You doing Wicklow 200?
Don't know.
We were the coaching partner for Wicklow 200.
Yeah, we might as well do it. I think we will.
Yeah. I don't know if we have a free entry, do we? Do we have a free entry, Alan?
Alan. It's Alan. Fuck, I forgot. I keep forgetting that. Let me make a call. Alan's a good mate. Let's sort it out.
A1CC spin at the weekend. Your absence was notable.
I was there at the end.
You were gardening.
I was just gardening. It needed to be done.
What needed to be done? The gardening?
You know, you put your life off. The likes of the Ross there was stuff that just needed to be done. I needed a fucking couple of hours in the morning. Had to be done.
Yeah.
Do a bit of weed.
Good health, Ben. Evan, I think he sold his bike or something. He hasn't been seen on a bike in months.
Haven't seen him, no.
I don't know what's going on with the lad.
Gone.
Yeah. We've a new section, similar to the Casey Neistat section. It's called Post Time. People that send us in stuff, and we're going to open the stuff you send us in. You've new shoes on the way this week.
We do.
Yeah,
I've
got a couple of things here now. We've got an envelope, which I don't know what it is. Anthony Walsh A1 coaching. And
I actually had a plan to make King Fred, or the King of the Fred section, the new
for
section.
For,
yeah. And he was like, name the
Fred. We could do a King of
Fred. Of the Week.
Fred of the Week. We've done. Fred of the Week.
You fucking take it for Fred of the Month, Ron, and you're not even going to be a winner next week.
Yeah, we got this in the post. Don't know what it is. There, that's for you. Thanks for that, lads. It's a Medigrass Organic CBD hemp-based food supplement. What's that do?
I don't know. It's marijuana on the cover of the dog.
Aids in sports recovery, de-stressing, good night's sleep, focus, and a healthy lifestyle.
When are you going to add into there?
I'm going to have a look and see what this is. If WADA are watching.
Fucked.
What do you do? Jesus.
Ah, here.
It comes in some sort. Oh, it tastes like shit.
That's right. Was that what it was going to taste nice, was it?
I don't know what sort is that.
Hemp oil.
I don't know what you use it for. Is there any directions how to use it? No idea. But cheers for it anyway.
Cheers, lads. That's for that.
Hemp oil.
Hemp. What's that?
Don't know. Not wearing a bugle once.
No, what's the story there, lads? They did a good job on them, though, didn't they?
What are
they? Anthony Walsh stickers.
Anthony Walsh white stickers, get them there, and they're going on front and centre. We got cheers for the stickers, lads. The bike station. Where's the bike station? The bike station is in Dundalk, from the looks of it. Bike station sponsors still coming, did they?
They did a good job on them, actually. Yeah,
nice. Nice sticker shop. The old camera there, not just you.
Not bad.
So there you go, bike station. Yeah, it looks a decent shop. I'll check that out.
I don't want one of them for his friend.
Ah, sure, the Anthony Watch stickers are going viral.
They're everywhere.
Marco Callahan's never had form like it. They're on the voice grips.
Voice grips there. The
Sean Hassey has one on his chain ring.
Has he?
Jesus, there's a bit of an aftertaste off that hemp.
Is there? Not really.
Poking high as a kite here for the second half of the show. Right, so there we have post time, we're calling that new section.
Post time.
Yeah.
Nice.
So there you go. Right, we're going to do a bit of an unorthodox order today. Ask A1.
Right. I actually got an Ask A1 question here as well.
Well, go on, hit me with it.
I just came through a WhatsApp there earlier on. So I came from a client, so how do I double down on my strengths if I don't know what my strengths currently are?
Power profile.
Exactly what I was going to say. So a power profile is just a series of tests from a short duration all the way up to about 5 minutes. So starting off with a 6 second sprint all the way up to a 5 minute test. And obviously we've already done, I know the guy, so we've already done a 20 minute FTP test, so we will identify the kind of where his power is at in the lower kind of, in those lower.
We plot your 6 second results, your 30 second results, your 1 minute against your peers, so we can see where your relative strengths and weaknesses are. Mm-hmm. Then you can target races based on your relative strengths and weaknesses to give yourself the maximum chance of winning.
I think that was based off a post that was out earlier in the week about doubling down on strengths.
Book in for a lactate test. Bit of construction going on in the office yesterday. When's the construction finish?
Daryl will have to book a flight.
Oh, Daryl. Book a flight, Daryl.
Come on, we're waiting on you.
Bit of construction going on in the office, but be cleaned up soon.
You're not the best at the DIY. Your wall's just hacked shit out of shells and nailed into the wall yesterday.
Hold on now. The camera can't pan out that far.
It can't pan out that far, but
that's a solid job.
If you stuck a level on that now, I wouldn't even sit on the top of it. It's fucking brutal.
Hopefully that mirror doesn't come crashing down.
Not great.
I'm curious if moral, it's a question for you, Bubba. I'm curious if moral values are relative or absolute.
Jesus. That's a great question, isn't it? You answer.
They're absolute. We determine moral values.
Yeah. Great answer.
This is a question from Ronan McLaughlin. Has my shitting schedule returned to normal post Ross? This in reference to I had 11 shits in one day. We're looking nasty Google to see if it was the world record, but all he could find was the world record for the longest piece of shit. It's like 12 feet for the longest piece of shit. So
you're full of shit.
But yeah, it's back to normal. Regular 6 times a day now.
That's the job.
This lad's training for the Junior Tour TT, 6.3 kilometer test. Any ideas on training? You're the tester.
6.3k short. A lot of high intensity kind of tolerance work. I'd suggest, like, it's kind of over that VO2 area, but you're going to be going over and under. That's going to be a complete fucking pain fest. Like, it's not like an ordinary TT going out and getting into like a comfortable groove. Like, it's pretty hard, and I imagine it's undulating. Is it the one across the Windy Gap, I wonder?
I don't know, I didn't say.
It depends how undulating and stuff it is as well, but 6.3k, what are you talking there time wise? It's going to be short, isn't it?
10 minutes. Jump onto our YouTube channel and go on to the TT section with David Miller. Just loads of good TT advice and stuff there. It's well worth watching.
I suggest that'll be a lot of over under effort stuff. That's going to be
equipment as well. Has he looked at his equipment? Tires, gearing's restricted for the juniors, but helmets, bars, specific bikes.
I don't know if they're allowed to use TT bikes in the Junior Tour anymore. If they're allowed. I'm not sure what the story is there, but you know, maybe come back and answer on that one if you're allowed to use TT equipment or not. I'm not 100% sure.
Here's a related question: comfort or power for TTs?
Comfort or power?
Yeah, like depends. The trade-off between being comfortable versus being aero, I guess he's talking about.
Is that what it means?
I would imagine so, yeah. Well, like, I read it as fast versus comfortable, which fast has to win.
Yeah, it depends on, actually, this is something I was talking about a couple of months ago. It depends on, duration of TT makes a big difference as well. If you're going for...
It's meant to be uncomfortable.
It is meant to be uncomfortable, yeah, but if it's a, say if it's a prologue, it's all about, it's pretty much all about power for a prologue. So, you know, not that I go in like manipulating a TT position, but if you're not used to riding it, don't go mad aero and change stuff for like the likes of a short TT or even a 10 miler. But when you go up to kind of 25 mile, if you're doing longer than that, or a stage race with a TT in it or whatever, then aerodynamics comes massive.
Yeah, the equation kind of changes. At the start, it's all about aero, nothing about comfort. And as you go longer durations, it's more about comfort and less about aero, but still a big aero fault. You should be uncomfortable regardless.
Yeah, a couple of tips actually that for like getting used to a TT position that's not 100% comfortable, even if you're struggling with time or doing your recovery sessions. I said this before, it's doing your recovery sessions in a TT position. So if you're finding it a bit uncomfortable, get out and get into your TT position. If you're going out for an hour zone one, just hop onto your TT bike, sit in that TT position and actually squeeze everything in and your head down a little bit more than you normally would to the stage where it's uncomfortable, and do that maybe once or twice in your recovery rides each week, and over time your position just becomes second nature.
Here's a question I don't think we'll be able to answer because I think it's slightly based on a misunderstanding. What's the best way to increase your average speed without using a power meter to pace yourself? Well, it's just to get better.
Yeah, get fitter.
Get fitter, use better equipment, do a route tailwind.
Average speed, yeah.
Average speed isn't going to do much for you. It's a bad metric.
I think talking to my dad about this yesterday. My dad uses a cat eye. So my dad's not an avid cyclist. He trains a little bit. Like, he's started cycling the last kind of 4 or 5 years.
How's his recovery? Could he use hemp oil?
He'd probably go to give him some hemp. He needs to calm down a little bit. He's a contrary fucker.
Tell him if we put the shelves up, we give him a bit of hemp oil.
Give him a bit of hemp. But yeah, no, he had the same thing. So he had a speedo on. And he's going out like and baiting himself to make sure he had the same average or increased that average all the time. Like, sure. You know, I had no idea he was doing that. He told me the other day that he fucked it off. He got rid of it.
So he's just riding. We talk about this loads in our winter training plans. He just ends up riding around in zone 3 all day.
Hammering himself. Yeah.
So what happens is you're riding all the time in zone 3. So there's a very narrow set of physiological adaptations to take place in zone 3. So you never learn how to sprint. You never learn VO2 max stuff because you spend your whole day in zone 3. So you just get really good at being kind of fast in zone 3.
Exactly.
Yeah, ditch the average speed as a metric. Right. Into local news. Boom, local news. Bugger, I'm sure you were glued to the Fine Gael leadership battle.
I was. Fucking glued to it.
Leo Varadkar.
Leo Varadkar.
Awardy winner.
He is. Yeah.
Why it's relevant for us is Leo Varadkar, back in January, he made a big point when he was up in the sports council in Abbottstown.
He did.
Of talking about the Velodrome.
Yes, he did, yeah.
So I'm here to tell you, Leo, we don't want the Velodrome.
What the fuck?
I don't want the Velodrome.
What do you mean you don't want one?
I don't want one.
You don't want one?
No. It's a stupid, it's completely flawed rationale.
Why?
That just because we build a track, we'll have loads of good track riders. We already have trails for mountain biking. Why not put a fraction of the resources we're planning to put into the Velodrome, into mountain biking, into road racing, into cyclocross, and develop that stuff instead of trying to fucking copy the lads over the mainland there in Britain?
Interesting debate. Interesting debate. I disagree. Then we need.
You disagree because you just want us. Because
you're
indoors.
A tosser. No, like, we definitely need a track.
Boy,
there's no.
What do you for boy for the 11th? Like, what's the purpose of Cycling Ireland?
No, because a track and infrastructure like what like they have in Manchester means that lads that are actually, that have brains, that go to fucking school, go to college, don't have to leave the country. They can still train.
What, the six lads?
There's six now because they have to fucking quit school and go to Eagle or Switzerland or fucking Wales.
20,000 people will turn up at the Ring of Kerry Sportive.
Are you telling me now if there was a track landed in Dublin that a load of youngsters wouldn't get involved in the sport?
Not 20,000. 20,000 people turning up at Sportives. Like, Cycling Ireland's mandate in the country is to foster development of cycling in Ireland,
mm-hmm.
not look out for high performance for six or seven lads that are currently based in Mallorca and make their life a little bit easier. There's nothing wrong with fly them to Manchester or Mallorca and leave them there if there's the budget for it. Like, why do we need a track to cater for those six or seven lads with the potential of attracting, oh, we'll attract another 50 lads? Like, we already have heaps of people in cyclocross, mountain biking, Sportives. Use that funding to make that better.
I don't agree.
It's because you're wrong.
I don't agree.
You're
that's
wrong.
Complete shite. I'm not wrong. and you're going to get fucking slayed.
I won't.
You definitely will.
I get.
I can't. I don't know where you're rushing. This the road men won't. Like, I know what you're talking about. I'm a road rider as well. Done some track.
Not even road, but just all cycling in general. Like, why not put this resource? We sent no one to the crosswalls. Why not put research? Now, the standard's not there.
We fucking trounced. That's why.
Yeah, but that's because the standard's not there, because we're not investing in cyclocross. You know, if they're putting, what are they planning on spending? A couple of million on that? If they spent a couple of hundred thousand on purpose-built cyclocross tracks around the country, you'd have people flocking to cyclocross.
The problem with cyclocross, road racing and all that kind of stuff is, for you to build an infrastructure around those lads, a house needs to be put abroad, which means youngsters need to leave school.
Why do we need to go abroad?
Because there's no racing here good enough to have them at a world championship.
But that's what we're talking about. Take the 200 grand and build a racing infrastructure in Ireland
for
it.
You can't just build. What are you supposed to do?
It's not all about getting six lads to the Olympics.
It's not about the Olympics. It's about youngsters on a track learning how to ride their bike from a young age.
But they don't have to progress to go away for them.
They don't have to know.
But so what's this talk about bringing them away? You don't need to go away.
No.
Race here.
You can race here, yeah.
Like, you've that elite mindset where you're thinking about, oh, Felix and the lads in Mallorca, it'd be great to have.
That's not what I'm thinking about at all. I'm thinking about like 12, 13 year olds or lads that are starting college that want to stay doing like structured training, but they can't do road racing because it takes fucking way too much time. They can't pay in a part-time job around work, but they head out to a track league.
But they can do cyclocross. We have a track league already and they don't go to it.
What track league?
It's on drive. It's a great track league. The lads do a great job there.
Yeah.
And they don't go to it. Just because it's indoors now, you think people will go?
Don't agree.
Yeah, you're wrong. Anyway, next up on the agenda, Irish team has been announced for the Nations Cup.
Junior team, yeah.
Yep, heading off to Germany for a Trophy Oak 3-day race from the 9th to the 11th. Liam Curley, Aaron Doherty, Patrick Dugan, JB Murphy, who's a hitter, Ronan Toomey, and Ben Walsh, who's having a very good season as well. So best of luck to the lads.
Mm-hmm.
You'll enjoy this one, Bubba. Some very fast TT times getting thrown down lately.
You okay?
Eileen Bourne's threw down a fast one at 52.47. She's close enough to Anna Torvey's national record. That's a 51.24.
Hold on a minute. There was a 45 knocked out somewhere along the lines, wasn't there?
There's Dan Raptor Bingham, a 45.42 in the UK. Fifth fastest ever.
Fucking hell. Who's faster than him? Who's the five fastest? Boardman?
Dowsett. Boardman. Wiggins.
McCann
go faster than 45.42.
He's done a 45.
Ooh, I don't know if he's on Hutch.
Hutch.
And if McCann is, then he's the fifth one.
I think McCann is faster.
Ooh, someone pop in an L message. Sure,
I'm not sure what his fastest time was, but he's not far off.
Yeah. I don't know, Buckle's not far outside that either.
47.
It's tipping. I'd like to give you abuse, but that's tipping.
It's tipping here. That's a fast course.
That is a fast course. It's all downhill.
Is it?
Genuinely.
Where is that? That's the Welsh one.
I don't know if that's the... Is it Hull?
Yes.
I know it's a super fast one in Hull.
Down there.
Yeah. It's a ridiculous course. Seamus Kennedy was on the weekend. Mark Roy, nice lad from Lucan, took the win. Javin second. And Zippy from Strata, number three. Ross Donegal.
The young lads. Dominated.
It's not just the young lads now, but they dominated.
The juniors tend to go.
Tour of Lavenir.
It is. It was a great fit. Like, it was good to watch, actually. I was keeping an eye on it. I liked that race. It was great to walk. Actually, I had good memories of that race as a youngster. Got a bit of feedback from one of the lads from the Ross. He gave me some feedback on Conor Halvey. He was the mechanic for Team Voodoo on the Ross. He's only 17.
Halvey's the overall winner, wasn't he?
Overall winner, yeah. 17-year-old. So, bit of history here for you. He's the first Donegal winner. Was established in 1990, same year I was born. Just put that out there and make you feel old.
1990's not that young anymore.
It's not that young, but it's a lot younger than
Jesus,
you.
Jesus, you know what I got today on Facebook? Did you see that memory I was tagged in? 9 years ago, I went to the World Student Games. That's bad, isn't it?
That's not great.
That's not great at all.
Yeah, so Sean McFadden sent me on. Actually, you know, Sean, he finished the Ross for that voodoo team.
Yeah.
He sent me on a bit of an update for the race, though. He was saying that your man, it's a former Aragon rider, is now part of the NRPT team. He was third in the TT behind Owen McLaughlin and Alexis Roach, the brother of Nicholas, who seems to be going well as well. He was going well up there. So McLaughlin took back the jersey on Saturday. It all came down to Glenn Gesh, as everybody knew it would, on the final stage. And Halvey, who we just mentioned, 17-year-old, snuck into the early break and managed to stay up there with the break and just stay ahead. And take back the jersey and win.
And Dylan Corkery took the stage up Glengesh.
He did.
So a good weekend all around for Nicholas Roach.
It was solid ride, but anyway, that's a class result.
Connor Halvey, Dylan Corkery and Connor Gallagher rounded out the podium for GC.
Solid.
Yeah, very good. Wasn't much in it, 18 seconds, 35 seconds. Good race.
Yeah, it is a good race.
How did a long slider get on? We don't know.
Haven't heard anything from him since. He was away there in the WhatsApp this morning, so Slider is working here with us. We haven't heard
much. He's back in the office tomorrow.
Is he?
He's back.
That's a tough race, don't he, Gal?
Yeah, I'd love to do it. Yeah, I'll do it once I get relegated from anyone. It's coming soon. International nails. I'm not sure if this is international or domestic, but the Irish women's sprint record was beaten by Robin Stewart in Moscow. The Belfast rider, she clocked a time of 10.994, which is impressive just because it's thought that the 11 second is like the mark that we have to be
correct.
Deemed international. So a good ride from her.
Fair play.
Criterium de Dauphiné.
Been watching it?
I've been watching it. I watched most of yesterday's stage.
Did you see the Ghent stage one?
Yeah, so I suppose we go through an order. The Ghent stage one. Did you see what happened?
Yeah,
watched it. Talk us through it.
So Thomas de Ghent, breakaway specialist, so a bit of knowledge here for you. Breakaway, he's won two of the biggest stages, arguably, of the last couple of years. He's won up to Stelvio and the Giro.
That was 2012.
Good few years ago.
Yeah.
2016, though, he also won up to Vontu and the Tour.
Was it 2012 or 2013 he won up to Stelvio? That was the day that Hoyshell won the Giro.
Yeah, so with the fucking engine, Honda 50 engine, it's bottom bracket.
No. He had Christian Van der Velde, was the engine that day, pacing him up to climb. Won't hear it, he's a good man.
We'll give you a right. So Thomas de Ghent in the breakaway specialist, absolute animal. So he was up the road, he took all the jerseys in the process, dropped his breakaway companion Dumont from AG2R on the finish. It was a really lumpy, did you see the finishing circuit?
Yeah.
It's tough, like. He just shredded him on the last climb, descended down into the finish, solo win, 40 odd seconds ahead.
Stage two was taken by Arnaud Demar from Francis Dujoux. Did you watch the finish of that one?
No, didn't catch it.
Yeah, it was a typical bunch sprint finish. It was chaotic, but
I thought Buhani was going to win.
He had Buhani on his right hand side, and I was just thinking, please close the door on him, please close the door. But then when you look at the overhead shot, Demar was so much faster. Who has gone to shite is Christoph. He looks like he's in slow motion. He's sanding his wheels or something.
Really?
I don't know what's going on with him. He looked like
he's leaving. He's leaving there, isn't he? Contract's up.
Is he getting there?
Yeah, he said he's looking for a team, so maybe he's not happy.
But Dan Martin was talking about yesterday's stage, and he was saying it's pretty hectic out there. Once the chase was on, I had the guys around me. He said they did a great job protecting me and make sure I was always in the upper part of the peloton in case something happened. I feel good, and I hope I can carry this form into the mountains at the end of the week. Dan Martin, of course, was toured last year, so we're hoping he can kick on from that. Today's stage finished just before we came on air.
Breakaway. I called it. Look back at the other show.
Did you?
Said today was going to be a breakaway day.
A sprinter's day.
On paper. Yeah. They couldn't get it together. And breakaway stayed away.
Yeah, Bowman from Lotto Jumbo. He got clear with five breakaway lads, I think after about 2 or 3 kilometres. And it seemed like they were going to get reeled back in. It seemed like they should have got reeled back in. But the big sprint teams just looked to miscalculate it. So he sprung for a unlikely win, and he said after the finish, "I know my girlfriend, my parents, and all my friends are watching at home on the television. This is my first pro win. It's the Dauphiné 2. It's a really big race. I really can't believe this."
Classic, I love that.
It's brilliant. I love seeing the breakaway staying away.
Yeah.
Order.
He hung on to his jersey again. Obviously, hung on to his jersey, and he potentially might. Tomorrow he might lose it. Tomorrow, TT tomorrow.
Yeah, and again, can TT as well.
Yeah.
So he might hold on to run another
day. Fairness.
Speaking of TTs, big Tommy Dumoulin signed a contract extension to keep him there for another 4 years.
4 years.
Yeah, so he said he's happy with the team. He's made some huge steps in my development. Not only me, but the whole team, we've grown together and we've taken it to another level the past few years. I'm very confident that I'll be making huge steps in the coming years. I'm in a really good team and I'm really looking forward to the coming 4 years. Big signing for Sunweb.
Massive.
Yeah, so the Giro d'Italia winner, it was suspected during the Giro that he was going to re-sign Sky or onto him. Apparently would have been a bad move, I think.
Oh yeah, fuck that.
fuck Sky. Tech news. I've got a brief bit of tech news today. Tech news. Still don't have the sheets. The fucking printer's been broke for a long time now.
The printer's out of action.
Yeah, bigger problems. Stages brought out a new computer called Stages Dash. Have you seen this?
No.
It's kind of like the Power Control 8 for the SRM. It's not really a competitor to the Garmin, they're saying. It's more of a training tool, but they do have some cool things on it. So one feature is you can set the size and location of all the boxes on it, so you can drag them and make them massive if you just want power and speed. It's pretty cool. The second one is, it's when you're following a workout, you can have a screen set up to show you a bevy of information, such as target zones for power, heart rate, and cadence, actual power, heart rate, cadence, lap time, brief instructions. But it's cool if you see it. You can go split screen and you can show a full on, it hooks up with today's plan really well. You can see a full on detailed description of your workout. You know, the way some people bring like little notes and shit, what they're meant to do. You can see a full on detailed description of what you're meant to be doing.
That's cool.
And then on the other side, it's a proper training tool. I'd say, like, if I was using the contrast between like Zwift, is like Garmin, that's, you know, loads of cool features and fucking going for segments and stuff. Whereas Trainer Road is just straight up about training. I'd say Stages, new one, is more just about a training tool.
Cool.
Racers, I think, will use it. I don't think the non-racers will get very much out of it. It's a bit too nerdy. We got a new bit on Coach's Corner?
Yeah.
Coach's Corner. We had a recent poll in the A1 members group. Overwhelmingly, they're calling for more coaching information. So
overwhelmingly.
So we've responded.
We have. A question I got a couple of weeks ago, and I've answered this to the individual directly, but I said I'd cover it as well in case other people are asking. So for lads that are out there training, a lot of people train, just they pick this out of the sky, I don't know wherever it came from. So you know the way most people will not train on Monday, it might be recovery day. Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday will be a 3-day block generally. So people, like even over the winter when there's no racing, a lot of people work in 3-day blocks all the time. So it's 3 days on, one day off, 3 days on, one day off. Could be, for some individuals, 2 days on. For some,
is that a pro thing? Like, because I'd be thinking,
I think it is.
Like, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday off, Saturday, Sunday, Monday off.
Yeah, a lot of people do that.
Yeah.
But the rationale behind the 3 day on, one day off, or even for the full-time lads or the A1s that are here, some of them are doing 4 days on, one day off. Like, what I wanted to boil it back to was that it always boils back to what you're training for. So I was talking to actually Peter Ryan the other day. Like, so Peter was, some of his training, Paralympic athlete, was, so his event is 1 day, big stress, 1 day, the road or the TT first, day off, and then another race, the road race follows. So for him, he doesn't need to be able to train, or he doesn't have to be able to get up every day without a huge amount of fatigue. He needs to be able to put out a big amount of stress on 1 day. So a lot of people, like, even speaking to someone, this person that I can't use their name, but they're training, they previously were training with fatigue all the time. So they get a good amount of TSS or training stress score over the course of a week, but they had an inability to produce a huge amount of stress on one individual day. And they were training for a 1 day event. And they can't then replicate it. They wonder why the results aren't as good, or because, you know, they've been training an awful lot, but their training didn't mimic the event at all. Make sense?
Yeah, well, would you train, like, does someone like Peter, who is a full-time athlete and he's going to training camps, there comes a stage where he does need a little bit of fatigue resistance?
Of course, yeah, you have to. Like, for someone like Peter, like, don't get me wrong, there will be a lot of this, like, his training, a good bit away from the event would be training fatigue, where he will obviously be hitting sessions where he's fatigued and not 100% fresh. I'm not saying he'll be 100% fresh in every session, but he needs to be able to mimic or be able to produce a big amount of stress in one individual day in training.
Yeah.
If he can't do that, like, his event is going to be a shock to the system.
For sure, because the 3 days can end up being, you know, I remember I used to have this debate with an old training partner of mine, because he'd get out and he'd do one sort of big day, another sort of big day, another sort of big day, and he was training for a 2 day event. And I was like, there comes a stage where you need to get the two really big days done, and by adding the third day in, you're taking away what you can do for the following 2 days.
Exactly, yeah.
But it boils back to what we always talk about, specificity of the event. Yeah. Like, boil it back, start with the finishing line as your goal and work backwards from it. What are the demands of the event? And then look at other people who have won the event before. Like, we're lucky enough now that we've a big body of data and clients, so we've a good idea of who's doing well in what events. But look, you know, success leaves clues, so retrace what's worked for somebody and that'll most likely work for you. Bugle, you added a new award today, Fred of the Week. So are we going to keep that going each week?
It might be insulting to some people. I know.
No, I think we should insult people. Rondon needs to be insulted.
He does. He was expecting it as well.
So I think we should go on the other end as well, to balance it. I'm going to say A1 Roadman. A new Roadman award.
Pro of the Week.
No, I don't mind Pro. Roadman. We give a cap away.
To
the Roadman. Fred's getting none. You get abuse. and you'd be lucky to get the abuse. You take it like the little bitch you are. The Roadman Award this week, who are we giving it to?
Roadman Award.
I suppose it'd have to be the Donegal lad, wouldn't it?
Yeah, has to be.
It'd be hard to look past Conor Halvey for it.
Conor Halvey, Roadman of the Week.
Free cap, it's coming your way. Hit us up with your address, and once the cap comes in from Sportful, we'll hook you up one. When are them caps coming?
I was about to ask you the same question.
Jesus, I don't know.
Evan, when are the caps coming? Tomorrow.
Evan, have us all wearing the paddy caps. Evan looks like Jackie Healy Ray in his cap. Finish it off there, but go with your Jackie Healy Ray cap. Thanks for coming, lads.
Cheers,
lads. Chat to you next week. No, we're going to chat to you on Thursday.
Thursday?
Yeah. I'm a complete. The bank holiday's throwing me off completely.
I love the chat, for fuck's sake.